Attends, on va voir ça.
So we're on the Vav of an Aleph, and we're looking at the Gemara, which is approximately midway through the Amud, after the two dots, Iboilahu. And hopefully this will ring a familiar bell to you. The Gemara has a Safek, and this is all about the Mishnah at the beginning of Masechta Zvachim, when the Karba was Shechted Shelo Lishma. And the Mishnah says that although the Bailam will have to replace this carbon, but nevertheless the carbon is kosher. So at the end of the day, he gets two for the price of one. He's going to bring actually two carbonos. So the Gemara has the following suffix. What's the status of the first carbon? Because every carbon is meant to generate kapara. So Kipro, oh, low Kippur. I skipped a few words. I'll get back to them. So basically, the Gemara wants to know, is the first carbon worthless in terms of Kapara? Or Kippur? Kippur al-Mashib Bo, meaning the carbon was brought for a Kapara for X, whatever that sin was, and he achieved the Kapara. So for example, the Gemara assumes that a carbon Ola is brought for a Kapara for Ese, for Kaive essay, did he achieve kapara with the first carbon, despite the fact that it was shalol lishma for the by virtue of this carbon ola, o shalol kippur, where it's totally meaningless, lo kippur? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shisha, Bereid Rav Idi, he has a problem. He says, Mistabra, the lo kippur. He says, how can you have such a suffix? If you're telling me that the first karmon, shalol lishma, was mechaper, isal kedaita kippu, is sheni lama huba. Why is he bringing a second karmon? He's already achieved kapar through the first karmon. And presumably, if he achieved kapar through his first karmon, then by definition, he fulfilled his obligation, which was to, you know, generated by chait, that he should be mechaper for that chait. We'll say in the case of Olaf, an essay. Why then are you requiring of him to bring a second carbon? So the Gemara is not happy with Rav Shisha's question. And we're going to see that Rav Ashi is going to fine-tune his question. The Elamai Lo Kipru. What is Rav Shisha saying? That this suffix is not a suffix. It's undeniable. It's absolutely certain that the first carbon wasn't mechaper. Because if it was mechaper, then why is he bringing a second carbon? So the question now is, Elamai lo kipru is lama hu karev. Right? What happened? The shechita was shalom lishma. But the Mishnah goes ahead and says that we're going to take the, we mekabel adam, we're going to be molot the dam, we'll zorik the dam, and then it's bad. Why are we going through the whole purpose? You're telling me lo kippur. In other words, Rav Shesha seems to be stacking the cards in favor of lo kippur, because otherwise, if it was kippur, he would not have to bring a second karma. So the Gemara is not happy with the way Rav Shisha formulates his objection to have Mishnah, because you're implying that it's obvious, there's no suffix here, that lo kippur. No, if lo kippur, why are we bringing the karma? The karma should be possible. So now we have to go back to Rav Shisha and try to put it all together. You know, you've more or less destroyed and undermined the whole question of Rav Shisha. So Rav Ashi wants to fine-tune, you know, when something is out of focus, he wants to give us a clear focus of Rav Shisha's question. He says, Rav Shisha bereid Rav Idi hachi kakashale. This is the way we have to understand his question. He's saying the following. Let's assume that the first carbon was mechaper, because again, otherwise, why are we going through the motions and being makriv of the carbon? And this is going to bother Rav Shisha. He doesn't understand on the tzad that this first carbon has kapara element to it. If you're going to tell me that there's no kapara, and now I can understand why the second carbon has to be brought. He says, shalo lishma, if the carbon was brought, shalo lishma. But nevertheless, I still understand why they would bring the first carbon, and that is, mikoach lishmo kasi. So these three words, mikoach lishmo kasi, are meant to justify, even on the tzad of Lo Kippur, why we're going through the motions of bringing the first carbon. In other words, the original akadosh of the carbon was for the purpose of, this is what we call the Shema, the purpose of a certain particular carbon as a mechaper, a certain particular kapara. Once there's Kedushas carbon, then we have to go ahead and we have to be makriv the carbon. And that means that it's mikach l'shmokos, even though now it's not going to be mechaper. Okay, so if there's no kapara to the first carbon, then as far as the Bailim are concerned, they have not fulfilled their obligation, which could only be clinched, only achieved when they, if and when they're machaper. So sheni lama huba, I understand why the second carbon has to be brought, and there's no hanky panky. There's an absolute responsibility and obligation to bring the second carbon lechaper because he didn't achieve kapara to the first carbon. So that's wonderful. That's where Rav Shisha turns to the Bnei Yeshiva that raised this suffix, and he says, "Look, if you're going to tell me lo kippur, I understand. I have answers to two questions. First of all, the simple one is the second question, why is he bringing a second carbon? That I certainly have an answer to, because he did not achieve kapara through the first carbon. And if you ask me, so why do I understand very well? I'm comfortable with the fact that we go through the motions and we're mocking the first carbon. And the answer to that is mikach lishmoka. See, the hakrova and hakdosha, not forget about the word hakrova, the hakdosha from the get-go, milachat chila, was as a full carbon kosher that was meant to be brought lishma for a kapara purposes. And once the kedushas carbon was chal, then if the carbon has to be brought, it has to be brought. Even if it's not miskaper before, but the hakdosha already set up didim and a status of kedusha and a hegdish to the carbon, so it's got kedushas mizbech, it has to be brought on the mizbech. But here's where Rav Shisha, Brei Ravidi had a problem with the Gemara Sofer. When you have another tzad to say that what? That kipru, that there was kapara through the first karbon, and that's why we bring the karbon. It's not just mikach lishmoka, but the karbon still has the power, even though it was brought shalom lishma, to be mechaper. It's sheni lama huba. Why are we forcing the Baalah carbon to bring a replacement carbon? He already achieved his kapara for the first carbon. So we're both saying at this point we really have a modus vivendi, as I call it, a working framework or operational mode to understand the Gemara. And that's all fine and dandy until we get to Tosus. And Tosus goes on a different level. And that's going to cause us a problem. So we're looking at Tosus, Dibra Masel de'i Salka Daitoch. What is that, number 4 on the page?
Yes.
Yeah. Tema. What is the Gemara bothered by over here? What is Rav Shisha asking? Rav Shisha is saying that if, according to one side in the Gemara Suffolk, there was a kapara through the first carbon, there's no reason to replace, to bring a second carbon. Tema kama korbanos odem isnadev who may be zecher zemiyan afal pishakibe rishon shenasu lishma. So let's take a case where he brought the carbon lishma. Does that mean that since there was a kapara, he can't bring a second carbon? We know that a person can be misnadev to bring a carbon zecher zeh. So let's say, for example, at time T1, he brought his first nedava, and immediately following the Zrikas Adam, he brought a second carbon. And the second carbon is no less valid than the first carbon. If it was brought lishma, it's kosher, even though there's no kapara element, he's already achieved his kapara on the first carbon. So why, Rav Sheshi is saying like that, if he achieved, in the case of Shalom Lishma, his kapara, on the first carbon, why is he bringing a second carbon? Tosfos says that's called a carbon in dove. So then Tosfos says, well, that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah is saying, Yeshlom deparach sheni lama chayav lahavi. The Mishnah says, lo ol lebayin l'shem chova, meaning that he's obligated to replace the carbon. If he achieved kapara with the first carbon, why is he obligated to replace it with the second carbon? That has nothing to do with the carbon in dava. The dava means that of my own self-motivation, without any obligation, I decide option as an option to bring a carbon. But here, the Mishnah is telling us that he's obligated. Well, if he already achieved kapara with the first carbon, why is he obligated to bring a second carbon? That's Rav Shishis' kash. Now, what I want you to do is jump, you know, fast forward to the end of Tosfos. The last piece in this Tosfos, Vinira, how many words is the last six words, I think, in Tosfos, am I right? The Mefarshim say that these last six words in Tosfos, starting from the word Vinira, goes back to the original kash of Tosfos. And he says, the me'asham kavadayek she'eno ba nidov. And Tosfos says the following, that the Mishnah makes a general statement, apparently all-inclusive. It says, kol azvachim she'nishbuchu shalol lishman k'sherim v'lo'ol l'bayil l'shem chova. But that general language of the Mishnah, kol azvachim, would seem to include even a karban asham. Again, we're going to have another title later on that's going to say in the case of Asham, the carbon is absolutely possible. But the Tanakhava holds called as Vakhim, meaning even a carbon Asham. Even a carbon Asham, there's going to be a halacha that the carbon is kosher, even though it was checked in Shalom Lishma. And now, the Bailan have to replace it. Says Tosis that an Asham is Eno Bab in a Dov. So again, let's go over. Tosfos' original kasha was, why does Rav Shisha have a problem with the fact that he's bringing a second carbon after the first carbon was mechaper? The second carbon has no purpose. There's no kapara. The answer is it's a carbon in dove. So in the first answer, Tosfos says, no, the Mishnah means it's a carbon chov. So don't talk to me about nidov. In the second answer, Venir at the end of Tosfos, Tosfos says, we're dealing with the case of an asham. And an asham is ain't above and a dove. So you know, I could give you a case of an ola where he brought an ola and then he was magdish a second ola immediately after the first, and the second ola is not machapi, already achieved his kapar with the first ola. So the second ola is an a dove. And a dove could be meaningful and valid even if there's no kapar ola. But that's only true for the case of an ola. It's not true in the case of asham. So let's say, for example, a person brings a carbon asham for any number of sins. And now he finished with the first carbon, which was brought lishma, and he decides he wants to bring another asham. Just out of matter of voluntary. He can't do so. There is no such thing as an ola, as an asham bin adab. It's ain't bab bin adab. So my old kasha, says Tosfos, was predicated on the fact that he can bring an ola, bring a second ola after he already achieved kaparta of the first ola, and the second one will be an adama. And therefore, the Gemara has a problem. What is the Gemara's problem? Tosfos says, I don't understand the Gemara's problem, because let the second, you know, what are you telling me? He was mechaper in the first. But we know that you can bring two karbanos, let's say in the case of ola, the zecher zeh. And the second carbon is completely devoid of any kapara, yet you can bring it. So Tosfos answers, no, forget about carbon ola. We're talking about a carbon asham. And in the case of asham, there is no nidava. And since there is no nidava, the Gemara is asking, why is he bringing a second carbon asham if the first carbon asham was machap?
The assumption is this Gemara is talking only about asham.
No. Yes and no. Let me backtrack. The Mishnah is talking about all karbanos, but the Gemara itself is focused on Asham.
On Asham. The Gemara doesn't say that anywhere.
Anyway, yeah. It's a little chosim in a sefer. It's a bit of a docha. So I don't have an answer to you on that level, but what I'd like to do is try to understand Tosfos on a conceptual level, meaning why there's no hint in the Gemara that we're talking about Asham. You see, I think if Tosfos was here in the room, he would say to you what I call Michomer Akusha. What do I mean? since we don't understand why the Gemara has a problem with bringing a second carbon after the first carbon, even though the second carbon could be a dava, although he was mechaper on the first carbon, so it must mean that the Gemara is talking about an asham, you know. And again, certainly the Mishnah is talking about an asham, but again, you're right, the Mishnah is talking about any carbon, like an ola, for example, doesn't have to be an asham. So it comes out of Kohen Tosfos, the Gemara never would have had a problem with ola alone, because okay, so he was mechaper, he achieved kapar with the first carbon, but it let the second ola be an adav. So the Gemara would not have raised, Rav Shisha would not have raised that problem. But what about asham? In the case of asham, there's no possibility of bringing it as a what? As a carbon nidav. That's where the Gemara has a problem. How can you tell me that an asham that was brought shalom l'shma and it was mechaper, that he should bring another another asham? What are you going to tell me? That asham is an idava? Your words was kapa with the first asham? There is no such thing as an asham bin idava. What I'd like you to do now is to open up, if you have, the Nefesh Tova to Siman Ayin Beis.
Yeah,
Pei. I have it on Pei Gimel, Pei Hei. That's what they say on the dreidels here in Israel. It says, Neis Gadol Yom. Oh. Yeah. All right. Now, he's going to raise a question in the first paragraph. And we're not going to read through the whole paragraph, but if you want to underline, you'll see about five lines up before the end of the paragraph, you may find the words tapekle. You see that? And it's just one line there. Tapekle de ba'asham leka nede. That is the essence of his question. Now, the question is predicated on the following. Tosfos makes a big deal about the fact that an asham is eno ba bin adav. There's no such thing as a karbon asham bin adav. And Rosh Yeshiva basically has an approach called dal mihachi, you know, typically, which means forget about that. Even if I would grant you that the karbon asham could come bin adav, we still have a problem. The problem is that asham, by definition, is a carbon that's brought al chet. There's no meaning, significance, or justification to call this a carbon asham if there was no chet. Let's say out of the wild blue yonder, a person didn't violate, let's say, one of the chet, one of the sins for, you don't mind if I close the door? Or maybe you get a cross pattern. It's a cross pattern.
I'll tell you that.
You'll tell me if it gets too stuck.
As long as the window is open.
The window is open, but maybe you need a cross piece. I don't know. So here's the problem that we're going
to ask the same question tomorrow. It's supposed to be extremely hard.
Oh, tomorrow's the Chamsin. They've already been warning us about tomorrow. Here's the question that's bothering us. Tosfos builds his whole case on the principle that there's no such thing as Asham bin Nedav. You don't really have to go down that route. Forget about the word Nedav here. Let's say there would be such a thing as Nedav. I don't know how, but you'd come up with such a case. There's a more fundamental problem, and that is that chet is the essence of an asham. For example, shmias kol ola, right? You know, you demanded avos from me, and I denied it. I took a shmua, and then I really had avos for you. So I have to bring a carbon asham. Many other sins that generate an asham. If you don't start with chet, then you can't call it a carbon asham. So if we assume that in a case of Asham Shalol L'shma there was Kapara, which is one side, then Rav Shisha is saying, well, why bring a second Karma? And that's a valid question, because once there was Kapara for the first Chet, that Chet can no longer, you know, you've so to speak neutralized that Chet, you know, it's not an active you know, you can talk about chas shalom, a wound, you know, where it's bleeding, you know, it's an active, and then you can talk about a scab, it's no longer active. So you've already deactivated this chet for which you had to bring an osha because you were miskaver on that chet. Now, once you've deactivated the chet, then there is no chet to generate an osha. I mean, you could wait for a couple of years until the chas shalom violates that sin again or another similar sin. But in the meantime, there's no chet. Like, let's say, for example, you were mafrish an osha for one chet, and then you violated a second chet. You can't bring that osha for the second chet because it was designated for the first chet. You'd have to bring a separate osha. In that sense, osha is very similar to a karban chatos. Just a matter of which sins generate the chatos, which sins the osha. But if there was kapara through the first karban, even though it was brought shalol shma, the first osha, then the second osha is totally meaningless, and that justifies Rav Shish's question. So Tosin is half me and said, "Wait a minute. Well, what's Rav Shisha bothered by that he's bringing a second osha? Let him bring the second osha and bin adaba." So Tosin says, "Well, he was bothered because the mission implies that it's not a matter of choice and it's not a voluntary decision. It's obligatory. Lo ol l'bayom l'shem chov." Now Tosin is saying no, that there's no such thing as nedava by Osho. And if there's no such thing as nedava by Osho, we understand very well, we're justified in understanding Rav Shisha's problem. Why is he bringing a second carbon? It can't be a carbon nedava. So Tosfos says, forget about it. So the Nefesh Tosfos says, forget about this. I'm not entering into the issue right now whether or not an Osho can be a nedava or cannot be a nedava. But one thing is clear, that what stemples the asham with the shame asham, what makes it a carbon asham, is the fact that it's baal chet. If he's already achieved kapara through the first carbon asham, then the second carbon asham is not baal chet, because that chet, as we said before, is deactivated. It's already achieved kapara. Right. Okay. Jeff, you look like you're about to say something.
No.
Okay. Now, he's going to quote a Karen Ori here, which raises a different objection to this whole sugya based on a sugya menachos. But just to summarize before we go on, he's saying that Tosis's his logic seems to be unnecessary. You could ask a second advanced question if you need to, if you have to raise the question, is there Asham ben Adab? But that question seems to be irrelevant. For some reason, why is Tosis analyzing Asham from that perspective? If we want to understand Rav Shisha and why he doesn't understand Sheni Loma Huba, the answer is Sheni Loma Huba because there's no chet. We're on the side now that he was mechaper with the first Asham, even though it was Shalom Lishma. Now he has a Karen Ora. What's the Sugi Menachos? The Sugi Menachos says that if, let's say, an asham was shechted shalol lishma, now the sugya menachos addresses two. There are many types of carbon asham, but let's focus on two of them. One is called a carbon asham nazir, and the second one is an asham mitzora. So what happens is that the nazir is not allowed to be metamil mason. Let's say he inadvertently was metamil mason. So he's got to bring a whole series of karbanos. One of them is called an asham nazir. And even if this nazir, after he contaminated himself with tumah, would go through the entire process of purification step by step, he's still not purified until he brings a karban asham. Very similar, a mirror image in the case of Mitzora. The Mitzora was tameh with tumas tzaras. He went through all the procedures, counted zayin nikiyim. The tzaras is gone. On the eighth day, he's got to bring a karbon asham. So now, in these two cases, the raisa wants to know what happens if he shechted it shalol lishma. And the raisa says the karbon is possible. Why? Hoil, this is the lashon hashas in Menachos Daf Dalet Amud Beis, hoil ubala hachshir velo hichshira. The whole purpose of the carbon asham was to purify him from his tumah, allowing him to go into the Beis HaMikdash, and it doesn't achieve that goal because it was shechted shelo lishma. Says the Keren Ora, Alma, what we see from this sugya in Menachos is that delo huchshar bi asham arishon, that the first carbon asham that was brought shelo lishma does not have the power to be machshir him, meaning to remove his state of tumah and allow him to go into the mikvah. Shmamina dasheni machshir umechaper. He says that how could the Gemara be asking a kasha from Asham? There's such a simple, straightforward answer to the question about Asham, and that is that the Asham is coming to be mechaper. I'm sorry. Start again. That the Asham is coming to be Machshir, and in the case of Shlo Lishma, the Bryson says explicitly that it's not Machshir. So Rav Shisha is bothered by the following question: why is he bringing a second? Why is he bringing a second Asham? That's the way Tosis learns Rav Shisha. I have a simple answer to that question. Of course he has to bring a second Asham, because the first Asham was not Machshir. The Gemara says explicitly, if the Asham was brought Shlo Lishma, it does not have the power to be machshir, the mitzora, the nazir. So you're asking me now why he has to bring a second carbon, meaning an asham as a replacement. The answer is because bala hachshir below hichshir. He need the essence of the carbon in the case of mitzora and nazir is to be machshir. He asks a similar question from a Gemara in nazir. The Gemara says that if shalmei nazir. Okay, now Shalmei Nazir, when the Nazir completes his term as a Nazir, he brings an entire series of karbonos called Shalmei Nazir, which are accompanied by Lechamim. And if the Shechita of the Shalmei Nazir was done Shelo Lishma, then there's no Lechem. The karbon Shlamim is not accompanied by Lechem, and Zor Lechayim and other things. So the Keren Ora asks, the Imarishan who are Machshir Vamachaper, Milo Yitan Lechem, according to this tzad in our Gemara of Rav Shisha, that maybe perhaps the first carbon, even though it's Shelo Lishma, would be Machshir. So if that be the case, why doesn't he bring the accompanying Lechem? And the answer of the Rosh Shiva is going to be here in the paragraph in Nireh. Now, in order to appreciate the answer here, we should take a look at Rashi. Just 1 second. Of course, when I need the Rashi, I don't find it. You see where Rashi says something about protecting him from Yisurin? Maybe the Rashi is
Rashi
not...
Rashi Kippur of Shiva, towards the end. Nafkamina Shalom Yidarim in Yisurim Shiva.
Oh, great. Excellent. Thank you so much. So we're looking at Rashi Dima Maskel Kippur, which is probably about 20 lines up from the bottom of the Amud. And at the end of the Rashi, Rashi says, Kibro Mashabo, Rashi says, Nafkimina Shalo Yidag Mina Yisurim Beintayim. So basically what Rashi is saying, just in terms of the words of Rashi, is that since the first Asham was Shalo Lishma, it's not Mechaper, but yet the Gemara says it is Mechaper. What the Gemara means, says Rashi, by Mechaper, is it protects him from Yisurim. And Rashi is Ur Beintayim, which means that the Mishnah says Shelo Lishma, he's got to replace the carbon. But the problem is that for X number of days or weeks, whatever it does to take it to replace the carbon, he's vulnerable to any kind of punishment. You know, the forces of evil are out there to get him because he didn't bring his Chatos, his Asham, in the meantime. And Enochinami, when he brings his second Asham, then and only then will he achieve a full kapara, Li'olam Vaed from that Chet. But right now, since the first Hashem Shalol Shema, even if I hold Kippru, Kippru only means that on a temporary basis, like a bandage, you know, what do they call it? A band-aid, you know, that only protects him on the outside from Yisurin, but he still has the Chet. So this becomes very important for the Rosh Hashiva. The Rosh Hashiva wants to suggest that what Rashi is introducing is the following bifurcation, you know, two categories. There's something called a kapara gmura, and then there's a new concept called kapara she'ena gmura. And this latter concept indicates that there's a temporary, you know, protection, but the chet is still very much alive and well, and that generates an obligation to bring a full-fledged kapara, which means he's got to replace the asham with another asham. Oh, so let's now retrace our steps. Rav Shisha asked the following question: that if there was kapara through the first karma that was brought, the first asham that was brought shalom, why is he bringing a second karma? And now the answer becomes: well, the first karma, even if it was miskaper, was a partial kapara, but not a complete kapara. So he needs a second karma to achieve a full kapara. Now let's look at the paragraph in Nira, because I think there's a lot of subtlety here in this paragraph. He says the following: what was the nature of the suffix in the Gemara? Kipru amashabo, lo kipru amashabo. He said there was never a hava, meaning that there was never a thought that crossed the Gemara's mind as a possibility that we're talking about kapara gemura. If the karma was brought shalom l'shma, it's not a kapara gemura. It's not a complete kapara. And that's going to explain, by the way, why the asham nazir, the asham itzora, if it was brought shalom l'shma, has to be replaced by another karma in order to achieve kapara gemura. He says, the vadai, in a case of shalom l'shma, is low keeper, and if low keeper, then he has to bring a kapara. He has to bring another karba, the kapara on cheto, because again he did not remove the. So again, if you're low kipro, then it goes without saying that he has to replace the karba. But even if you're kipro, he says. So that's what I would underline in the fourth line of this paragraph. It says, Af im kiper. You have that? Is mikomakom kachu dino liskaper shuv al cheto. Why? The answer is because it's not a complete kapar. Do you follow? The misakale e kipro olo. Eino inyan l'kapara gemura. It never entertained the Gemara's mind that he would have achieved the kapara gemura if the karma was brought shalom l'shma. So it's not a kapara gemura. And if it's not a kapara gemura, then he has a chiyuv to be miskaper again with another karma to achieve a kapara gemura. And that's called, in the language of our Mishnah, lo olo l'bailim l'shem chova. And therefore he needs another kapara. And here's where Rashi comes to the rescue. Because Rashi says, wait a minute, on the one hand you're telling me that he was miskaper, kibrule. On the other hand you're telling me that he has to bring another karma. Why? So Rashi says that even according to that sad, that kibru, amashabo, it only means a partial kapara, but not a complete kapara. The other tzad in the Gemara is low, which means ein machaper klal. There's zero kapar. But according to one tzad in the Gemara, there's a partial kapar. And that partial kapara, on the one hand, achieves some sort of kapar, but on the other hand, it's not enough to fulfill his obligation, because he still needs a kapar gemura, and that he hasn't achieved. So tzarech l'skaper al cheto shu. And if you'll ask me, well, if tzarchlas kapar al cheto shu, because the kapara for the first through the first covenant is Eina Gemura. So what was the achievement of that kapara? You know, is she pregnant or is she not pregnant? You can't be half pregnant. So how can you tell me that he will have to bring another asham to achieve kapara, and yet at the same time you're telling me there was a kapara? So you're telling me, well, even if Kippur, it's only an incomplete kapara. What was the nature of that incomplete kapara? Here's where Rashi fits in. We could plug in Rashi. Rashi says that the power of an incomplete kapara is to protect him in the meantime until he finally brings a complete kapara. And that's called lo'ol l'bayim l'shechov. He has to replace the first carbon with a second carbon, which is going to be a kapara gemura, because that carbon is going to be brought l'shma.
It's kind of out on bail.
What's it called?
Out on bail.
Out on bail. Excellent. He's out on bail. Oh. If this be the case, then now we can swing back to the Gemara's Kasha of Sheni Lama Hu Ba. That was Rav Shisha's question. Since he achieved through the first Asham, even though Shlo Lishma, some element of Kapara, which means it's going to protect him in the meantime, in the interim, from Yisurim. If that be the case, comes along Rav Shisha and he asks the following question. Sheni Lama Hupa, why does he have to bring the second carbon? So the Rashiva says that Mashakasvu Atos the Kush Sagmar Lama Hupai Sagaksha Ain Ashim Bob in a Dava Mishum Shein Lo Chetlis Kapra of Lomakshim Yakshin Dinus Kapra Shuval Cheta. If you're going to grant me that the first Asham that he brought has a partial kapara, that's called Kippur al Masha Asu, al Masha Bo. Then, if he has a partial kapara, then why is he bringing the second carbon? Says Rashim, you know what the Gemara was asking? That the second carbon is now a carbon in Dava. And there is no such thing as an Asham bin in Dava. The Gemara couldn't have asked, well, there's no chet, and if there's no chet, then how could this asham have the second asham, how could it have the status of an asham? Where's the chalashem asham if he's already been miskaper for his chet? That's not a problem at all. Because even according to the tzad, it says kipru, we still understand that it's not a kapar gemur, it's only just a temporary bandage, so he definitely needs an asham, which will have the status of an asham, because he still has, you know, a significant vestige of the chait that still hasn't been miskaper, and that's called lo olu l'bayim l'shem chova. Lo olu l'bayim l'shem chova means that there's still a kapara element that he desperately needs to create a permanent kapara. And therefore, if he still needs an asham to create and generate a complete long-term kapara, so then why is Rav Shisha saying Sheni Lamu Ba? I understand very well why Sheni Lamu Ba. So the Nefesh HaTovet asked the question, what do you mean Sheni Lamu Ba? I understand very well, says the Nefesh HaTovet, why Rav Shisha objects and says Sheni Lama Uba, because there is no chet. The answer is no. Rashi clarifies for us that there is chet. How do I know there's still vestige of chet? Because this protection from Yisurin is only a bandage, only a temporary tris b'fnei Yisurin. You know, it's like a shield that's going to knock off the arrows as they come. But as far as the chait itself is concerned, the chait is still very much alive and well. It's been temporarily blocked in terms of Yisurin, and there's a bandage on the wound, but the chait itself is still very much alive and well. So if that be the case, Rav Ashi's kasha still remains difficult. Why is Rav Ashi asking? And Kain Sheni Lomu Ba, I understand very well Sheni Lomu Ba. Sheni Lomu Ba is because that carbon will be for chet. There was never a complete kapar for the chet. So what's Tosis's kasha? In other words, I keep saying it a little bit wrong, so I apologize, I correct myself. Not what was Tosis kasha, Tosis teretz, I'm talking. No, it's Tosis wants to create a kasha in Rav Shisha. Right? Ultimately, the Gemara wants to, that's what Rashi is trying to do, to explain Rav Shisha's objection to the Mishnah. So what's Rav Shisha's objection to the Mishnah? The answer is that Hashem is lo ba b'nidav. So again, if Rav Shisha would have objected and say, wait a minute, there's no chet and therefore there's no Hashem, that's not right, because there is no kapara gemura and therefore there is chet and he needs an Hashem and the Hashem will be chal. Oh, so what was Rav Shisha's, why was he wondering, why are you bringing a second karbon if he was miskapa with the first? Says Tosis, because it's ain't above in a dove. An Hashem doesn't lend itself to the dove. The Rosh Hashiva doesn't clarify here exactly what he means. He says it in a vague way. If there was no complete kapara through the Shelo Lishma, the first Hashem, so then what's Rav Shisha's problem? He still has chayt. If he still has chayt, he's obligated to bring another Hashem. So Rav Shisha says, no, Hashem is lo bav and nedav. Who's talking about nedav? We're talking about chova. But I think the Rosh Hashiva is operating with a kind of a tzvei dinim over here, if he doesn't spell it out. If you're asking the question whether the karbon number two, the replacement karbon, is related to chet, for sure. He never achieved kapar gemura, and therefore it's related to chet. Oh, but if you're asking me, is there a chovas gavra here to bring that asham, it's mehechetesi, you know what? You know, he brought an asham. The asham is definitely an asham, the first one. How do I prove and demonstrate to you that the first one is an asham? Because it affords him with what? With a kapara. Again, it's a weak kapara. It's watered down. He's on bail, you know, like you said. But there's enough for kapara in his chet that he's protected from evil, from any yisurim that might befall him. If that be the case, then obviously the karban asham was meaningful. If it was meaningful, then who says that he can bring, that he's obligated to bring a second car? Oh, so you can answer me, well, he's not obligated to bring a second car. It's only in the double. So here's where Rav Shisha yells and screams, what do you mean in double? We're talking about a carbon asham. By an ola, you can tell me that he's got a voluntary carbon asham to replace the first one or whatever. But if you're talking about a carbon asham, an asham is ain't no bub in the double. So if there's miktas kapara through the first karban, then there's no chet gomur, right? He's only got vestiges of chet. And if there's no chet gomur, then you cannot obligate him to bring a replacement karban. When is there an obligation to replace the karban? Is when you have a chet gomur. But you don't have a chet gomer in this case because there was a partial kapara. Once the partial kapara, the chet itself is a watered down chet, and therefore it should not generate another chova. So the only fallback position then to justify our Mishnah, according to this tzad that the first Asham Shalom was miskaper, is through the mechanism of the dog. But that mechanism doesn't operate with regard to a karban Asham. That's Rav Shisha's kash. But don't ask me a question, well, you know what? The first carbon was miskaper, and if the second carbon is not even an asham at all, don't call it an asham. There's no chet. No, the answer is there's enough for chet to call the second asham an asham, because although it's not a chet gomor, we'll call it 50% of the chet. That's enough to call the asham an asham, but it's not enough of a chet to generate a chiyuv. Why? Because since he's protecting himself from Yisurim, he salvages enough of a kapara that the chen is already a watered down chen. If it's a watered down chen, it cannot generate a chiyuv karu. Well, I have an option. Nidav, no option. There's no such thing as an asham b'nidav. Now the Rashiva wants to answer up the Karen Ohr's kasha. Let's go over the Karen Ohr's kasha. Karen Ohr was asking that you see clearly from the Gemara in Masechet Menachos that in regard to an asham mitzora, an asham nazir, that if the karma was shalol lishma, then it's not machshir. And if it's not machshir, then why is Rav Shisha objecting sheni lama hu ba? Of course he needs the second karbon, because the second replacement asham is going to bring him to the state of hechsher. He says, Lefi zeish levara mai paslinon b'menachos. And why, in the case of Shalmi Nozim, you remember the second kasha was that it's not accompanied by lechamim and zroif, who was brought shalom lishma. He says, Mishum shedinim elu tlui b'gmar kaparosa. Now, if you're asking whether he's chayav to bring a replacement karbon b'toras chet, so the answer is a mixas, according to Rav Shisha, a mixas kapara in the first karbon would be sufficient to remove the chiyuv to bring the chet is already diluted. It's a diminishment of the chet. How do you say it in English? A diminution? No, it's a word.
Diminution
of the chet, so that he's not chayav to bring another. For another carbon for a demutated chayv, right? But if you're asking about machshir, that's already a different din. Machshir is generated by a kapara gemura. If there's anything but a kapara gemura, and he still has a din kapara, then you cannot be matire him or machshir him. But efshar di islay kapara af biyoshem arishon kisveke the gemara kain, he does get some element of kapara. Albeit a mixas kapara, that mixas kapara is enough to remove the chovas gavra. Again, when I say chovas gavra, I mean a chovas gavra of chet, not like the case of Hashem Nozir and Hashem Mitzor. There, the chovas gavra is b'toras machshir, and for that you need a kapara gemura, and the shalol shma, which generates a mixas kapara, is not going to help you to remove the chovas gavra as a machshir, because the machshir depends upon kapara gemura. But if you're talking about a different case, not a case of Mitzorah Nazir, but a case of an aide who knew testimony and he denied his testimony. So there, as a Chovas Gavro for the chait of taking the Shvur Sheker, he has to bring an Asham that's Machaper. He brought an Asham that's Machaper, albeit a partial Kapara. He reduced the severity of the sin through that Kapara enough that now we can't ask him to be chayav. So the machayav of chayt, in order to set up a chayav asham, requires a chayt gomor. But in terms of being machshir, in the case of nazir and mitzor, for that I need a kapara gemur. Wow. You know, it appeals to my intellect that he can, in such a short, you know, presentation, a simon that you could put in half of the page, and he answers up all these questions. Pretty amazing.
It's not clear to me where this concept of a partial kapara comes from. I mean, it works. I mean, but where does it come from?
I think it comes from the following. We're in a paradox in which the carbon is meaningful, and yet...
Even though it's shalol lishma.
Even though it's shalol lishma. So how do we operate with this? You know, the carbon was not brought as an asham. And yet the carbon is kosher. If it's kosher, then it must be achieving something. Epis ketunayv, you know, as we say in Yiddish, it was some sort of an impact. But yet, it was shalol lishma. If it's shalol lishma, that's a secondary carbon. So what we find here is it's a carbon, but not a carbon. You know, how do we work that out? So the Gemara suggests the following, the way Rashi understands the Gemara, that it's a mixas kapara. Not a complete kapara, but a partial kapara. And Rashi expresses it in the following way, that this mixas kapara is enough to protect him on a temporary basis and postpone any sort of yisurim. You know, the chet is still an albatross around his neck, but it's not going to squeeze his neck because he's got this mixas kapara. Now, what are the implications of pidinim mixas kapara? So on the one end, according to Tosis, it removes his chova to replace this karma with a second karma, because he could always say, where's the chayt? The chayt is partially diminished. At the same time, if you're talking about dine machshir, in the case of Nazir and Mitzorah, so to be machshir, I need to remove the chayt entirely. And for that, I need a kapara gemura. Will this baal hachayt, meaning the one who's mechuyav asham, who brought a carbon asham, shalol lishma, will he be obligated to replace that carbon? It depends. If you're talking about a classical case of an asham where it's only the chet that is machayev, well, this is not a real chet. This is a chet with, not with a capital ches, but with a small case ches. If you're talking about dinei machshiv, that's only in the cases of Mitzorah and Nazir, that asham will not achieve its goal of being machshir unless it's got a complete kapara. That's the deal. It's almost as if to say the following, that the Torah said, look, my friend, Mr. Mitzorah, Mr. Nazir, you were metame yourself. We're not going to accept you back until you divest yourself of any element, you know, even a shmek, a little bit of a reach, of vestige of tumah. It's an all or nothing proposition. And if that chait is still lingering in the background, and the asham is shalom l'shma, you're not going to achieve your machshir. And if you're not going to achieve your machshir, then the carbon has to be brought. On the other hand, when you talk about chait, and you're not talking about being machshir, so there are different gradations. You know, we know that all of chait, you know, if you learn the Ram Hilchos Tshuva, you get the impression that there are different levels of chait, a whole hierarchy, you know, what do we call it? A pyramid, you know, going from the highest level and the lowest level, different. And what's the status of a chayt, for example, in a person who benefited from hegdesh, right? These chayv and asham me'ila, he violated the isur me'ila. So there's a difference between a person who sinned and hasn't yet brought a korban asham, and a person who brought a korban asham, which albeit with shalom l'shma, but it still has the status of a korban. So there's some element of kapara. And Rashi says the practical difference, you want to sink your teeth into it, is that now, you know, you can walk the streets, and then and Chas v'Shalom, you know, the stones will not fall on his head. You know, you pass a what do they call it?
Just happened.
No, it just happened.
The big stone.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Missed a woman by.
Really? Do they know why the stone fell out?
No. Other than the fact that it was in the egalitarian.
Oh,
I didn't see anyone make a comment on that. You know, people are thinking.
But seriously, that really shocks me. Are you talking about one of the Avnei HaKotel actually
fell?
Yeah,
this is on the south.
Because we were always of the opinion that almost like a miracle. I mean, I don't mean a miracle in that sense. I mean, but a miracle of engineering ingenuity that they were able to. Yes. There's nothing really. I don't think there's any cement between any rock and another.
No.
And what's keeping it up? It's just the weight and the balance. I always thought that was a major achievement of when was it, 800 years ago, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Even how they place those stones one on top of the other is an amazing. I'm not sure if they know the technology even today. I'm not sure. But now you're telling me one fell, boy, that punctures a hole in the balloon.
I think it was one of the top pieces, and it was relatively small compared to the.
Right. But how do we know that something like that won't happen again?
Well, they closed the area and they're inspecting.
I wonder if they'll have to add certain things of chizuk. So again, in terms of chet, he can say, well, I'm right now protected from the chet. I brought a carpet shalol l'shma. The asham is that much meaningful that it implements. Yeah, now look, you know, I can really justify why. Psychologically, why he's motivated to bring a second karbon, even though he's not obligated to, it's still a vestige of the chait. You know, he wants to achieve a full kapara. But the problem is that the karbon ashram is not bobbin and dobbin. If there's no absolute chova, then the karbon is meaningless. And that's exactly what bothers Rav Sheshes, Rav Shisha. He's saying that since we're dealing with an ashram here in this sugya, it's sheni lama uba. there's no way that you can obligate him to this carbon. He was already miskaper. Ella, what, you're going to fall back on a dove? There is no such thing as the dove, but there's no enterprise of the dove in the case of carbon osha. Now we want to go on to the next piece of Gemara, which is here on the same page. Iboilu. So basically we covered about 10 lines of Gemara, and right below that the Gemara has two dots with Iboilu. A essay de liachra frosha machapra olo machapra. Let's read a little bit weiter to see what the Gemara has in mind. Mi amri, do we say midi dahavi achatos? You're talking to me about an ola. Maybe an ola should be compared to achatos. Ma achatos, the kodem afrosha in, the liachra afrosha lo. Afhochanami, here also in the case of an ola, the kodem afrosha in, liachra afrosha lo. Okay, we'll see the second side in just a second. Let's just review the first side of the Gemara. If chatos becomes the paradigm for osham, then we have halacha in chatos that chatos is only mechaper on a chet de kodem afrosha. So if on time T1 he violated one of the 36 chiyuvei kares b'shogeg, and then at time T2 he was mafresh a karbon chatos for any one of those violations, then that's fine. Then the chatos is a chatos kshero. But if he was mafresh a karbon chatos for avera X, and then after he was mafresh that he violated avera Y, or the same avera second time, so that's called li'achar afrosha. And what's the deal with a chet liachar afrosha? In the case of chatos, it's not mechaper. So again, the sequence always has to be chet first and then afrosha. Shall we apply the same logic by analogy to ola? And we'll say also in the case of ola, he wants to be mechaper on essay. He didn't take a lulav last year. So he was mafresh the carbon ola for that essay, and now he violates another essay after he was mafresh the first essay. That's called an essay liachar hafrosha. Now, what's it sad to be mechalik between an ola and an osham? That even though an osham is liachar hafrosha, there's no carbon, but here there might be a kapar even for a chet that took place after the afrosha, which is pretty wild when you think about it. So Gemara says, Odim lo damyo lechatos. The chatos I'll call chet v'chet boy. Each chet generates a chiyuv of its own chatos. Boy la suye chado chatos. He says to designate a chatos for each chet. There's no freebie over here. You can't get a generic chatos and say, well, I want to bring this chatos for all my chatoim. And that would be a great idea. You know, he can save himself big, major, mega bucks. But no, every chet requires its own chatos. So obviously, if he was mafrish a chatos for chet X, and then after that frosha he violated chet Y, it can't be that this carbon is going to be related to Y because it's already related to X. And each carbon, each chet unto itself, is machayev its own carbon. Odilma says the Gemara, lo dam yo lechatos. Meaning, yesh lechalik, we can differentiate between ola and chatos. And how does the Gemara postulate this distinction? The chatos I'll call chet v'chet boy lisuye chad chatos. It's true that within the framework, the constellation of chatos, each chet generates its own chiyuv chatos, and chatos has to come b'fnei atzma for each one of the sins. But hocha, here in the case of an ola, came with the Iko Kama Esigabe Mechapra. The din of Ola is that it has a generic power of Kapara that applies to and encompasses all his various essays. So you can imagine a person within a week he was guilty of non-fulfillment of 50 essays. He can bring one carbon Ola. That'll give him a kapar for all 50 essays. It's therefore essay liachar afrashanami mechapra. What would be so terrible if he violated an essay after the afrasha? The main thing is not the afrasha, it's the akrabas akarban. The akrabas akarban is kind of like a chameleon, you know, it takes on all the different essim that he violated, even essim that he violated subsequent to the afrasha. Ola achas yichol lechapra al kama essim. That's what the Gemara is saying. Therefore, even on essim that he violated, he was guilty of liachar afrosh. And here we want to look at Simon Ayin Gimel. You'll tell me what page it's on. But the only question I have for you is, what time is Mincha?
Now it's 1:15.
Well, let's see. Oh, let's open the door and see if there. If
there are people. They're not standing though.
But I'm saying, is there enough people for a minyan? Because if not, then how many people do you have? Oh, they have a minyan. So let's leave the door open. I'll just point out to you here, we're going to have to do this tomorrow. I don't know if you're around tomorrow. What? Okay, you're not here tomorrow, Jay. Okay, so we'll try to finish this up tomorrow, but I just want to point out what his question is. He says, I don't understand the Gemara's Hava Minah to equate Chatos with Ola. In the case of Chatos, we have Halach of Hafrasha. You have to have Hafrasha on the Chet. We don't find a parallel halacha in Ola, that you have to be mafrish the Ola al Chet. And if you skip down about five lines, because I always like to tell you which words to highlight, he says, "My medame l'shar karbonos." What's the equation between Chatos and other karbonos? Ain't nai zekayim b'akdashasa. We never found in any other carbon, other than a carbon chatos, that you have to be makdish the carbon for the sake of a particular chet. So, in the case of chatos, we have a unique halacha that chatos lo ba ela al chet liachar afrosha. I'm sorry, that chatos is lo ba ela al chet shalifnei shehikdim lafrosh, because you have to be makdish it for chet. Chet generates the kapara. I'm sorry, it generates the chiv karbon, and the hakdosh has to be for that chet. But now we're talking about a karbon ola, and a karbon ola, there's no such thing that you have to mafrish the karbon ola for the sake of a particular chet. So what therefore was the Gemara's hava mina, one side of the suffix, to equate chatos with ola? And here's where he introduces a whole new concept, which he bases on what he heard from his Rebbe in the name of the Brisker Rav, and that is that when we say that you need a chet before afrosha, but not a chet liachar afrosha, it's not just the din in the afrosha, it's the din in the carbon itself. That the carbon itself is not mechaper, you can't be makir of a carbon for a different chet, and that might be true for all carbons, even though I don't need afrosha for the sake of chet, but the akrova in the gufa shel carbon has to be akrova for the sake of a chet. And here, if he violated the chet liachar afrosha, then there's no way that we could say that the carbon is mechaper for that chet. It's a din in the carbon itself. So, Belina, that's what we want to analyze tomorrow.